Kidding the news. Kidding the news. Kidding the news. Kidding the news.
What's the news across the station? We make fun of information. You wait. We hope you love news. News. We just love to kid you the news.
And down, down, down.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Jerry.
It's the Kidders version of the show, the Kidders segment of the show, where we just have some fun with the news, because if you can't laugh at the news these days, you just end up crying. The comedian panel, all out on the road, comediizing, or whatever it is they do. And usually there might be one on the phone, but we just thought all three on the phone wasn't going to work. So a little bit of a different segment today, as we welcome a couple of guys who work in the comedy world, but from a little bit of a direction, kind of in the corporate world, and an opportunity to talk to them about that. Todd Hunt is here. Todd, welcome.
Hey, Jerry, thanks.
Good to have you along. What do you call yourself?
I am a business humorist.
A business humorist.
Not quite a comedian.
No.
It's funnier than a business speaker, more informative than a comedian. So I don't have to be as funny, and it's okay.
I see. You get away with not
that's
being
right.
funny.
Right.
But you're not a motivational speaker.
No, not a motivational speaker. I think that's kind of a term that people that's become cliched, like the slimy used car salesman. You know, if you have a positive attitude and all this and that. I don't talk about that. I talk about communication bleeps and blunders in business, how we all mess up communicating.
On a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, and we're hilarious.
Except in the radio business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where we're totally – I mean, one of the things that people say in radio all the time, not on the air, but you hear in the hall time, I thought we were in the communication business. Where's the memo? And Dale Irvin is here. Well, thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you. I didn't know what to do today. It was either go to Lollapalooza or the Bud Billiken Day Parade or come here.
Okay.
So this was it.
Always pick C. And so what was it – how would you describe what you do?
I am the world's only professional summarizer.
The world's only?
That's right, because I trademarked it. But what I do is I go to conventions, I listen to all of their speakers, I attend all of their events, and then periodically throughout the convention, I write a comedy monologue based on what just happened.
Uh-huh.
So I give them an instant recap of Cliff's notes of what they should have learned had they been paying attention.
So they spend 3 days taking notes, listening to dry speeches, and then after the company has spent a whole lot of money, they pay you to just trash the entire event.
I mock them, you know? I just come up there and mock. I get paid now for what I used to get detentions for in school.
You're the guy who sat at the back.
Exactly.
And made fun of what was going on. And now they pay you for it.
It's a beautiful thing.
God bless America.
Exactly.
That's how I always look at that sort of thing. So, Todd, what's your message? What do you try to do? Because you said that you're not a motivational speaker.
I'm not a motivational speaker, and I'm not a professional summarizer. I'm not even an amateur summarizer. But what I do, I call it faux customization. That's F-A-U-X as in fake.
Right.
And I started that years ago when I did a conference for dental people, dentists and hygienists. And a fella came up to me afterwards and he said, boy, you really understand our practice. He said, we do such a lousy job communicating with our patients and you nailed it. And I thought, wow, I had absolutely no dental references in the entire talk. I didn't talk about bridges. I didn't have denture jokes.
No.
I didn't have flossing material. But his take, I think he projected his situation into my universal stories. And his takeaway was, this guy really gets what we do.
Uh-huh.
So it's customization without the work.
That's a great scam.
God bless
America.
Better
than mine.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody's unemployed. If you two have this gig going.
I know.
I'll tell you what I do. I always say communication is the biggest challenge in dentistry today because everybody screws it up. Uh-huh. And they all sit there nodding their head and go, yeah, yeah, he's right.
And the next day you say,
communication is the biggest challenge in broadcasting today.
Right.
Everybody, I spoke at the Arkansas Broadcasters Association last week. I said the same thing. They're nodding their head and going, yeah, this guy gets it.
See? Yeah. And did they hire a talk show host? No. And so, Dale, you're the world's only professional summarizer. And do you actually mock what they do, or
I don't mock. I just try and try. Sometimes you can't. For instance, I just came back from. I was at a conference for a big broker dealer, big investment firm, and one of the speakers they had was a guy who wrote a book about Medal of Honor winners and all the stories that they went through to get this Medal of Honor. Well, there is no way you can make fun of a Medal of Honor winner.
No.
So afterwards, I got up there, and it was a, you know, it was a bunch of brokers, a very right-wing crowd, I would say. And I went up to them and I said, you know, this was a great story because it teaches us that, yes, there will be a better tomorrow. Yes, the economy will turn around. Yes, our business will get better. And one day, my friends, one day, Nancy Pelosi will be out of office. And they went nuts. You know?
Yes, I thank you for that statement as well.
I tell you, I've heard Dale, never in person, but I've heard a lot of tapes of his programs. And a lot
I don't remember selling you any.
No, these are bootlegs. But anyway.
Yeah, there's a function on the computer to copy a disc, Dale. I don't know if you knew
and
that.
I'll tell you, he doesn't have to mock the people because sometimes just reporting what they said is hysterical in and of itself, and he just does it totally deadpan, and people laugh hysterically, but you can't accuse him of mocking. So.
Well, so what's the value to a company of doing that? I mean, they just want people to go home with a smile on their face after this whole thing, which was supposed to be serious business?
Well, that's a good part of it. I started doing it for a client back in 93 who hired me and said, you know, we have a problem. This is an incentive meeting. People work extra hard to get here, but they never seem to come to the meetings. They don't stay till the end. They'll go play golf. I said, it's very easy. Your meeting is no fun. So we've got to bring fun back into the meeting. So I started doing that. What we have found doing this for the last, 17 years, is that, first of all, it keeps people engaged in the meeting and awake because they know they're going to have fun after they see it. It reinforces the serious message because they hear it again in a humorous form. And everybody does have more. It gives them something to talk about at the coffee break. Everybody has more fun, which makes them want to work as hard to get back to the meeting again next year.
May I add one more to that, Dan?
Sure you can.
I think another thing that they do is when they listen to the conference and thinking, oh boy, I wonder what he's going to do with it at the end of the day.
After they've seen me once, they do say
that. As you said, it makes them pay even more attention,
right.
If not for the information, but for trying to one-up you and anticipate what you're going to
do. Exactly. I always have people come up to me and say, well, you know, you missed this one. Yes, because that one's not funny, but thanks for the offer.
Yeah.
Todd, I know one of the things you talk about, and it's probably valuable for people at work to hear some fun with this, is the anal retentive nature of some of the people at work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I myself am a recovering anal retentive professional.
Uh-huh.
Who finally learned to lighten up.
Okay.
And now I laugh at myself, poke fun at myself. And, of course, people say, well, now, anal retentive, what exactly is that? And I say, well, it's not the same as organized.
Okay.
If the money in your wallet is grouped by denomination, you're organized.
I've got that.
Okay. If it's sorted by bill condition,
yeah,
you're AR.
What about serial number?
Are you mocking me?
No, I'm just asking.
Why do you think Uncle Sam printed all those numbers in the first place? Of course, we have to keep them in order.
They have to have a purpose.
Somebody came up and they said, well, what do you do if you've got, how do you work in bill design with that? The new bill design. What if you have a really crisp old design and a really ragged new design? Which takes priority? And I didn't really have an answer.
Well, so is that a person who should be in management or fired?
Could be a business humorist for that matter.
Should be an accountant.
So Todd Hunt is here, and Dale Irvin. Dale is the world's only professional summarizer.
That's correct.
He'll summarize your convention and pretty much boil it all down to
three or four punchlines, and then I'm out. You know.
Spend the entire convention sitting there coming up with three or four jokes. They cut you a check, and you go home. It's a pretty good gig. And Todd is a corporate speaker, but more from the comedy. In fact, you very emphatically told me you're not a motivational speaker. You're not a gung-ho kind of guy.
That's right. And I don't get up there and tell you got to have a positive attitude and everything in your life will be fine, because a lot of people have said, I've had a positive attitude all my life, and I've had more stuff happen to me.
Yeah. I'm pretty positive things aren't going well.
That's right. I know they're not.
Okay. And so what sort of groups would have you talk to them?
I speak for any kinds of groups. financial services people, accountants, of course, love me because I speak their language. We're fellow AR professionals.
And AR, again, is?
Anal retentive.
All right.
And I do a funny bit about when will cashiers learn the correct way to hand us change? Give me the coins first, followed by the bills on top. Don't make that little pyramid where you give me the bills first and the coins on top, so I have to tilt my hand so the coins fall in my thing. I did that for an accounting group, and 500 accountants went, yeah, 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 it's about time somebody stood up for that. And they were serious.
Yeah, they
and
didn't
I loved
think it was a joke.
No, they thought, this guy totally gets us. And I was serious, too, but I kind of recovered from that. But they were still in the throes of it. So.
You know, I think if you can get 500 accountants fired up, Dale, then he's the man.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Accountants and engineers. Those are the two tough ones.
I think my best one, though, was probably Funeral Directors Convention.
Wow. I've done them too. They are a barrel of laughs.
They are. And everybody says to me, oh, you could do some great jokes for them. And I say, no, I'm not going to do any funeral director's jokes because they've got better ones than I have. And one told me, and Dale, you can probably corroborate this, one of them told me why they're such a great group. Because all during the year when they're at home, they have to be reserved and you know, because you don't want to send your Aunt Tilly to a crazy person. But once a year when they go off to their convention, that's the time when they can be wild and crazy.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's like the old Jackie Gleason and going to the Elks Club, you know, dropping paper bags of water out the window and stuff. they're really nutty for like 3 days.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they got to cut loose.
Yeah.
And they just can't do it at home.
And
right.
The one I was at had a trade show connected to it.
Yeah.
So they had all the latest models
of
coffins and
the
vaults.
And the urns and the plaques and the different sizes of plaques. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is funny to you, young man?
it was at the time. Yes, it was.
But I think that a lot of people could also look at what either one of you do and say, well, you know, I mean, we're trying to do business here. We're being serious. You want to laugh, go out to a comedy club. What's the purpose of bringing guys into a business event that are just here to make us laugh?
Well, that's a very good point. And I think the smart companies get it. As Dale mentioned earlier, when he said that they said to the convention guy, your meeting is boring and you need to be livened up. What I do a lot of is conference openers or conference closers. So you get people laughing, but you also give them a message. And what's really interesting about that is I'll have people come up to me, funeral directors, again, for an example. One lady came up to me afterwards and she said, oh, you are so funny. I've never heard anybody say, you should be on Jay Leno. Have you ever tried out for the Jay Leno show? And I didn't tell her that I was out of town when they were here for the tryouts, but I thanked her very much. And then the next woman came up to me and shook my hand, said, I really enjoyed your seminar. One thought I was a comedian. The other thought it was a seminar. They both heard the same thing, but they both got something out of it.
Well, I can understand that because I'll get two emails, you know, back to back. You are the worst thing that has ever been on the radio. And the next one, oh, thank goodness you're there to explain this, you know.
But then some people don't get it. I just got an evaluation last week from a program I did where somebody wrote in they did not appreciate the opening speaker because it was like it was a comedy show. Well, yeah, it kind of is with humor.
It was like a comedy show.
And I also don't use PowerPoint. And she was ragging that I made fun of PowerPoint. She said, but PowerPoint is a very proven, effective communication tool. Well, okay, fine, but I just don't use it.
I think that the thing that, you know, most companies understand is that laughter really is the only defense we have against the economy, against the government, against everything that's happening. And if they can add more in there, it's the best defensive tool we have. And it works one-on-one. You know, my wife and I get in an argument, I make her laugh because she starts shaking and it really ruins her aim. You know,
so. Well, but that's the statement I use when I open up Jerry's Kidders every morning, Saturday morning, when the regular comedy panel is here, is that if you can't laugh at the news occasionally, then we just all end up crying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, and work can feel like that sometimes, too. You got to have some release. So quickly, I want to get your web pages, and then I'm going to make you be guest kidders for a second on a story or two.
Okay.
All right. Todd?
Todd is toddhuntspeaker.com. That's Todd with two Ds, toddhuntspeaker.com.
And mine is Dale Irvin. That's DaleIrv. VIN.com. Go on there, press the button that says Friday Funnies, and sign up for free. And every Friday, I will send you a funny recap of the news and a link to a video I do on YouTube.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of like what we do with Jerry's Kidders.
Right.
It's a very similar kind of thing. So, man says, cat to blame for child porn, Keith Griffin of Jensen Beach, Florida, charged with 10 counts of possession of child pornography. He says he left the room and the cat jumped on the keyboard and downloaded the material.
Well, and the cat has already secured an attorney because the cat's is claiming a defense, says, hey, I was just looking for kitty porn.
Okay, see?
And just a misspelling thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I don't have one for that. But if you want to talk about shoplifting, I can come up with something.
Yeah, there's an 86-year-old woman here in Chicago who was arrested for the 61st time. She was found with $252 worth of groceries in her pants, including cosmetics, salmon, batteries, and instant coffee.
You know, Jerry, it's really tough when you put an anal retentive person on the spot who doesn't have time to prepare something. But that reminds me of a sign I saw in a convenience store. It said, Coke, 49 cents, two for a dollar. And maybe she was confused and didn't appreciate the illiteracy of the sign and figured, I'm just going to shoplift this stuff to get back at those people.
There you go.
Wait, so, and just if I can piggyback on that, you know, the more and more shoplifters, the common method is to stick things in your pants, you know, yes. Like she did. That is why shoplifting is really unheard of in Scotland.
It won't
you
stay up there.
You can't keep anything up your kilt.
No, you can't.
Well, you've got to keep something. All right. ToddHuntSpeaker.com and DaleIrvin.com. And thanks to both of you for filling in for the kidders today.
Thank you
thanks,
very
Jerry.
Much.
Appreciate it.